All right, everybody. It's that time for us to start again. First of all, about a third of the people in this room, maybe even more, have helped to put this conference together. But there's three people in particular I would like to thank and highlight. Shannon Harris, Jen Ritchie, and Jeremy Tremaine. So if we can give them a round of applause, because they've been huge helpers. And again, for everyone else who's done their part in this, thank you very much. So far, this has been fantastic. And thank you for David so far. And with that, okay. There's been a lot of questions. How do we get a recording of this? Okay. So Jeremy once everything's recorded, he'll take a look at the size and figure out, okay, can we put it on one CD, multiple CDs, or some other method? And so he'll need, thumb drive. So he'll need a few, we'll say a few days to maybe figure that out. But if you would like a copy, the best thing to do is we'll start a list. You can just put your name, how we can contact you, and you want the whole thing, or session three, or whatever your preference is, and then we can get that to you. Yeah. Okay.
How much does it cost?
Nada. Yeah. So.
Donation to the worship team.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. With that, both Ken and Catherine made it. Hopefully your trips today were okay.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. So I'll bring Ken up, and he can tell you about himself. But with that, let's welcome Ken.
All right.
Thank you, and thank you for having us. I'm Ken Yates. Not much to say. I'm a retired Army chaplain, and I do stuff for Grace Evangelical Society, and that's about it. Nothing else to be. Live in South Carolina. Been married forever. Four daughters. Three grandsons. And I went to Dallas Seminary, if anybody went to Dallas Seminary, and what's that?
International ministry.
Yeah, that's, I do some international ministry. Yeah. Oh, we should not, should I?
No, we're late, guys.
Should we talk about the books back there? Okay, then we will worry about the books, but all right. No, thanks for having, first time in Idaho. That's right. I mean, I've done a lot of traveling. This first time in Idaho, and those mountains look pretty. They look real pretty. And the office did text us while we were here saying David Jansen was there, and could we get a better looking guy to come in and do some teaching? So that's what they said. Hurry, Ken, get there. And then some of you texted and said, could I come and straighten up some of the heretical stuff he's been teaching? So that's why I'm here. For a better looking non-heretical teacher to come. That's the only reason I'm here. So, I know we got the schedule mixed up, cause for those who don't know, we were supposed to fly yesterday, and they just texted us and said, you're not flying today. Didn't tell us why, just you're not. And we'll let you know when you are. And so that's what happened there. What are you gonna do, you know? And, no, they still charged me. I was supposed to do, Free Grace Basics, this morning, but Dave, we moved it all around, and now I'm going to do that now, Lord willing. So, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come and, study your word together. Thank you for this church and everyone here, and just pray that this whole conference will be a fruitful time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do need to do my little clock thing here so I don't go way over. Free Grace Basics. Let me tell you what all that's about. We do these conferences pretty regularly. We have the national conference in Dallas every year. And it came to light that there's some people who say, we don't know what y'all are talking about. You know, we would have sessions, and they would say things like, I'm new to free grace theology. I'm not used to the terminology and things like that. It would be like if there was a class on auto mechanics and I was sitting in there and someone started talking about a carburetor or a radiator or the spark plugs. I'd have no idea where any of that stuff is. And people would say the terminology you all are using in your presentations were not familiar with it. And so it was recommended by a number of people that what we would do is have a session on basics of free grace theology. We would do that. Hopefully it's not all basic in the sense of it's only going to be beneficial for someone who's not used to this terminology or has never heard it before. Hopefully this will be beneficial for all of us, no matter where we're at. And that's what this session is for. And the hope is, I remember when I was first told to do it, I thought, man, people are going to be bored with this, you know, and people aren't, but they weren't, and so we'll see. And if you are bored by this, tell me, and then I'll tell Bob, my boss at GES, that I was right, that people are bored by all this. If you tell me you're not bored by this, I'm not going to tell him, though, because I look bad, and he doesn't. So that is what this is on, and we're going to have question and answers afterwards. So if this was too basic, say, well, what about this, or not basic enough, that'll be the time during the question and answer to bring that up. All right, so the basics of free grace theology. Now let's see if my little clicker thing works here. See the little checks there? Okay, they're good. Okay, let's go to the next one. Oh, I don't know what's going on there. Those are checks. Oh, this is operator error. Do I need to point it at someplace? The down? See, I'm not doing that. Those little check things. Am I locked? Oh no. Did I lock it somehow? I was pressing these things. Those are the ones I was pressing.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Well, I was worried it's going to be too cold here because we're from South Carolina, and I thought, oh man, and but it's not. It's nice out there today, huh? Yeah, thank you. So what did I do wrong?
I don't think you did anything wrong.
Okay. Okay. Let's do the. Okay. Just a word of caution about this presentation. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be talking about what other people believe, what other people say about free grace theology. And anytime you do that, you run a risk because people are going to say, well, I don't believe that, or I didn't say that. I'm going to be talking about a lot of different views, and I'm saying right off the bat, number two, not everyone is going to agree with everything that I say that they believe, but I do believe it represents the majority. There will be some differences. It's kind of like asking if you ask what does a Baptist believe, you know, and if you try to describe what Baptists believe. And I can say that because I grew up a Baptist and everything else like that. You know, if you get 10 Baptists, you got 11 views, right? But I am going to try to be fair to the people that I represent. And in the question and answer period, you can say, well, no, that's not really right. And that's fine. And I'll say, yeah, you're probably right. I got that wrong. But I do want to be fair to all these different views. And I do think that I'm going to fairly represent them. And we'll see. Okay. When we talk about free grace theology, one thing we need to, and we're going to get in the presentation today, free grace theology is much broader. There's a much broader community. There's a lot of different people who call themselves free grace, but at the beginning that was not the case. And when we talked about free grace theology, when I was a young man and we were just getting started, I was still in the Army as a chaplain and I would attend the conferences. there was pretty much agreement on everything. And that is, number one, that assurances are the essence of saving faith. And what I mean by that, this may be a terminology that you're not familiar with. When you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you have assurance of that eternal life because it's based upon his promise. Jesus says, he who believes in me will never die. Well, if you believe in him, then you believe you'll never die. You have assurance of everlasting life. That's at the moment of faith. At the moment of faith, you understand what he's promising you, and you believe it. And you are assured because that's what he's promising you. Now, that doesn't mean that you will later have doubts. You can believe him on Monday, and then a month later, not be assured. But at the moment of faith, you are assured that you have eternal life. That is part of what it means to believe. You are convinced that that is true. So assurance, at the moment of faith, you have it, even if you later lose it. And number two, this assurance is based upon what Jesus promises. Martha in John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me shall never die. Do you believe that? That's the promise that the Lord gives us. Saving faith is believing in that promise that Jesus is the Christ who gives eternal life that can never be lost. That's the gospel that saves someone from the lake of fire. That's the gospel of eternal life. That's what Jesus promises. And when you hear him say that and you are convinced that that is true, then you have believed. That's what faith is, being convinced that something is true. And because he says you'll never die, if you're convinced that what he says is true, you know you'll never die. All kinds of works, whatever works we're talking about, baptism, circumcision, doesn't matter, repentance. Turning from sin is not a necessary part of faith. Works play no role in it whatsoever as far as gaining eternal life. Now, there are many unbelievers who do turn from their sins before they believe, but it's not the turning from their sins that gives them eternal life. It's by believing in Jesus, the promise that he gives, that gives them eternal life. So repentance, if we define it as turning from sin, is not necessary to receive eternal life. So these are some of the basics of free grace theology. When I was young, this is what everybody agreed with. This is what was taught. It was pretty unified. And now I'm talking about Grace Evangelical Society started in the mid 80s. I got involved in it around 1990. And this was, the belief system through the early 2000s. This is free grace theology. But as we're about to talk about, that changed. That has changed since around 2006, 2007, the terminology that's being used. All right. I've already said faith is being convinced that something is true. A lot of times when you hear people talk about faith, they say faith is has an emotional aspect. It has a volitional aspect. In other words, I have to decide something. That's what faith is. But free grace theology said no. Faith is being convinced that something is true. Jesus makes his promise. When you are convinced that what he says is true, you have believed. That's what faith is. It's not, did I cry about it? It's not, did I have a liver quiver about it? Nothing. I hear it and I believe it. And the reason that's important is because, a lot of times in religious discussions, saving faith is considered something different than other kinds of faith. For example, if I asked you, do you believe that George Washington was the first president? You say, yeah. Well, why? Well, I'm convinced it's true. Why? Well, there's a million reasons why you're convinced it's true. your mama told you, and you trust your mama, or you read about it in a history book, or you saw a movie about it, or whatever. You're convinced that George Washington was the first. You don't have to cry about it. You don't have to decide to believe that. You're just, I'm convinced that's true. It's the same way with saving faith. When you hear John 3:16, you're convinced that is true, and you believe it. Good works, this is free grace theology, or elements of free grace theology. Good works, like I said, have nothing to do with you receiving eternal life. Instead, good works deal with rewards, sanctification, and the avoidance of God's discipline. Okay, I don't do good works in order to prove that I'm saved. I don't do good works in order to make it into heaven. I don't do good works in order to get final salvation. Good works in the New Testament are taught so that I become more like Christ, sanctification. Rewards in the world to come. Not all believers are going to be equal in the world to come. And I want to avoid the discipline of God. Sin brings the discipline of God in my life. But none of these things have anything to do with receiving eternal life. Most people throughout Christianity say, well, if you don't have works, then you're not going to make it into the kingdom. You'll either lose your salvation, or it means you never had it. Free grace theology says, that's not true. The works don't have any role in that whatsoever. Number seven, free grace theology says that if I preach a different gospel, whether it's an Arminian gospel, we're going to talk about what that is, or the gospel that the Catholic Church preaches, or Lordship Salvation preaches, those are not saving messages. Now let me just say something, as you can see here. That is not saying that there are not believers in the Catholic Church. There are believers in the Catholic Church. There are believers, there are people in the Catholic Church that's going to be in the kingdom of heaven. There are people in Arminian churches that are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. There are people in Lordship Salvation churches that are going to be in the kingdom. What we're saying is that they're there despite what their churches are teaching. The message that these churches are teaching are not saving messages, because they all teach works are necessary to go to be in the kingdom of God. And there's only one gospel. Paul says this in Galatians. There's only one. So if you were saved by grace apart from works, if that is the message that saves, if I add works to it, then I am preaching a message that does not save. This is free grace theology, in the nutshell. So let's see here. I said I was going to talk about Arminian theology. Again, this is just terminology, if I'm using terms that you're not familiar with. Arminians believe that you can lose your salvation. They believe you're saved by grace through faith, but if you don't do good works, then you'll lose your salvation. What they do is they bring in good works in the back door. You still got to do good works to make it into heaven. And free grace theology historically has not really dealt with Arminian theology. I remember all those conferences I was going to when I was a young guy. I was a chaplain. Very, very, very rarely did we talk about Arminian theology. Arminian theology is found in like Pentecostal churches normally, or charismatic churches normally. Again, they believe you're saved by faith, but if you don't do good works, then you'll lose it. Instead, free grace theology and grace evangelical society, they didn't spring from debates with Arminians. They sprung from debates with what we called Lordship Salvation, which we still call Lordship Salvation. Lordship Salvation is related to Calvinism, and what it says is Lordship Salvation does not teach that you can lose your salvation, but what they say is if you don't do good works, you never had your salvation to begin with. You were never saved in the first place. And it's related to Calvinism. One of the points of Calvinism is something that called P in the tulip, T-U-L-I-P. The P is perseverance of the saints. If you do not persevere in good works and in faith, then you were never saved to begin with. That's what Lordship Salvation says. Now, Free Grace Theology said, no, that's not true. A believer can fall into sin. A believer can continue to live in sin. A believer can live in sin the rest of his life. A believer can be carnal. But if he has believed in Jesus for eternal life, he has eternal life because you can't lose eternal life. He'll lose out on rewards. He'll experience the discipline of God. He won't become more like Christ in this life. But to look at somebody and say, ah, look what he's doing. Because he's doing that, he can't really be a believer. That's what Lordship Salvation people say. You know, and pick your sin. Pick your poison. It could be any sin. You know, if you see a man who's married, who's cheating on his wife, we've all heard it before. Well, obviously he's not saved because look what he's doing. Look at the way he's living. This is where Free Grace Theology came into being. This is why Grace Evangelical Society was formed. This is why the books are written. It is to debate that kind of theology right there. Free Grace Theology says that a believer is capable of any sin. Just as an example, when I travel a lot, one of the things I often hear is this. This is where the rubber meets the road. Someone commits suicide. Lordship Salvation guy, not always, but a lot of times will say, well, that just shows he wasn't saved. And I say, no, a believer can commit suicide. That's just one example of a million. Okay. Matter of fact, I just heard a prominent Lordship Salvation guy preach on this just this past week, and that was his view. He said, I'm not going to say if someone commits suicide, they're going to go to hell, but I'm about 99% sure of it, is the way he said it. And he's drunk. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, so, all right. Here's Lordship Salvation. Lordship Salvation, and by the way, this was probably what I was taught mostly in my seminary days. Lordship Salvation, to one degree or another. It agrees with Free Grace Theology that eternal salvation cannot be lost, but here is where they differ. Lordship Salvation people say, you cannot have assurance of salvation in this life. You cannot know that you, for sure, that you are going to be in the kingdom of God. Why? Because you don't know if you're going to persevere. You don't know if you're going to keep doing good works. I don't know what I'm going to be doing 5 years from now. I may deny the faith. I may commit suicide. I may cheat on my wife. And therefore demonstrate that I was never saved in the first place. So Lordship Salvation proponents say that when Free Grace people say the moment you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you know you have eternal life, you know you're going to be in the kingdom of God, they say that is giving people a false assurance, and we should not teach that. Because they say you've got to persevere, and you don't know if you're going to do that or not. They speak of degrees of assurance. If you're going to church, if you're praying, if you're reading your Bible, if you're not beating your wife, whatever it is, you've got a pretty good, okay, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. But I can't have complete assurance because I don't know if I'm going to keep doing that. Okay? And in order to be eternally saved, I must make Jesus Lord of my life. I must turn from my sins. Remember, Free Grace Theology says, no, you don't have to do that. The unbeliever simply believes John 3:16 and he has eternal life. The Lordship Salvation person says, no, that's not what faith is. Faith is making him Lord of your life as well. There's a problem with that. How much do I have to make him Lord of my life? Because I've been a believer a long time, but there's areas of my life where I think, man, Jesus ain't Lord of my life in that area. You know, and so that's why you can't have assurance under this system. And by the way, the system says it's good that you don't have assurance. You need to be scared because that'll motivate you to live a godly life. Where free grace theology says, no, your motivation to live a godly life is not, you know, I hope I make it into heaven, so I'm going to live a godly life because I want to make it into heaven. Free grace theology says, no, I want to live a godly life because I want to be more like Christ. And when he returns, I want him to say to me, well done, and reward me. Notice the difference there. Huge difference between those two theologies. Lordship salvation also differs from free grace theology in another way. They say that the Arminian gospel, okay, lordship salvation says you cannot lose your salvation. However, if an Arminian preaches the gospel and says you can lose your salvation, as long as you make Jesus Lord of your life, then that's a saving message. Rubber meets the road here. A few years ago, I was in a conference, and they were talking about the gospel of the Catholic Church. Now, remember, I said there are believers in the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church says in order to make it into the kingdom of God, you have to do penance, you got to do the sacraments, you got to be baptized into the church, you got to do all these works. Here's the question. If a person believes that, and that is all they've ever believed, is that person saved? Free grace theologies would say no. Many lordship salvation people say yes. Not all of them. This is where I want to be fair, and I was in this session, and they were discussing this. I don't know what it break down to, 60-40. I think 60% probably said yeah, 40% said no. So in other words, if a person comes along and says, okay, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, I believe he rose from the dead, I believe he was born of the Virgin Mary, I believe that he's coming back again, I believe that I need to be baptized into the Catholic Church, I believe I need to do extreme unction, I believe I need to do penance, if I believe all those things, it's not right, but it's still a saving message. Free grace theology say, no, you've added works to it. Okay? Okay. The other thing about free grace theology is that free grace theology really, really emphasizes rewards. They really emphasize the fact that not all believers are going to be the same in the kingdom of God. Some are going to be closer to the Lord than others. Lordship salvation people say, since we all persevere till the end, we're all going to be equal. Christ is going to say well done to all believers. Free grace salvation says, no, if I'm a carnal believer at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord is going to rebuke me. But lordship salvation people say, no. All believers, according to lordship salvation, are overcomers. All believers, according to lordship salvation, are godly believers. Because if you're not a godly believer, then you're really not a believer. And so Jesus is going to say, good job to everybody who's in the kingdom. But free grace theology says, no. At the judgment seat of Christ, if a believer has not walked with the Lord, they're going to be rebuked and they are going to lose eternal rewards. It's amazing when you talk to believers who've been in churches for 40, 50 years and they've never heard rewards. Never heard it. Complete new concept to them. I run into that all the time. In fact, I talk to some people and I say, talk about rewards, and they'll go, nah, I'm not interested in those. Well, free grace theology really emphasizes rewards. When you hear lordship salvation and Arminian teachers talk, hardly ever, I'll say it, never do they talk about rewards. Because again, Arminian teachers say, if you don't do good works, you're going to lose your salvation and you won't be in the kingdom. So everyone's going to be holy and godly when they get into the kingdom. Lordship salvation, people say all believers live godly lives, and if you don't, you're not going to be in the kingdom, so we're all going to be equal. But free grace theology, one of the strongest points that they make is that there are some believers who are faithful to the Lord. There are other believers who are not faithful to the Lord. We call them carnal believers. And there's everything in between. And you're going to see that in the talents, the parable of the talents that I'm going to do later. Okay. But as I said, in more recent years, there's been a split within the free grace circles. And now there are up to, like, say, up to about 2006, what I've talked about so far, that was pretty much the way to see free grace theology and those who weren't free grace theology. But since 2006, 2008, in that time frame, there's been a split in the free grace camp into two ways of looking at this. And some people have started calling this flexible free grace and focused free grace. And what is that? What do they have in common? Whether you are a flexible free grace or focused free grace, you believe all these things. Eternal life cannot be lost. The people who teach flexible free grace, they have assurance of eternal life. They know they're going to be in the kingdom of God. They know it. They all agree that there's going to be rewards in the kingdom. They all believe that believers can be carnal. They believe that believers can commit suicide. They believe that believers can commit adultery. They believe believers can commit a murder and still be in the kingdom of God. They also, flexible and focused free grace people, all believe that lordship salvation teachers are misinterpreting the Bible. They all agree with that as well. And they all agree that you don't have to make Jesus Lord of your life in order to go to heaven. So they all agree with that. The flexible free gracers and the focused free grace. But there are many differences. Flexible free grace opponents, I'm going to go through this and I'm going to summarize it. Flexible free grace people say that you don't have to have assurance of eternal life in order to be saved. You don't have to believe that Jesus gives you eternal life in order to be saved. They believe that, but what they're saying is the unbeliever does not have to believe that. Assurance of salvation and eternal security is not something the unbeliever has to have in order to be saved. That is something that you can get later as a believer, and you may never get it. You may live your whole life, and you may live your whole life thinking, I've got to do good works to make it into the kingdom of God. I've got to do good works. They would disagree with that, but they would say that you're still saved if you believe that. They believe that when a person believes in Jesus Christ, you can believe in Jesus for a number of different things. You don't have to believe in him for eternal life. In other words, and I listed some of them. Suppose a person says, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. I believe that. Am I saved? Now, a person who believes that, let's go back to the Catholic Church. Does a person in the Catholic Church believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead? Yes. Free grace, focused free grace people say yes, but you have to believe in him for eternal life. A Catholic who believes that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, if he doesn't believe in him for eternal life, he's not believed the promise. He's not believed the good news. And if he's never believed that, then he's not saved. Flexible free grace people say, yes, he is. And so what they say is there's a lot of different gospels. You may believe in Jesus that he's coming again. If you believe that Jesus is coming again, even if you don't know if you're going to be a part of his kingdom or not, if you believe he's coming again, then you're saved. If you believe that he died on the cross and rose from the dead, then you're saved. If you fear God and ask him for mercy, you're saved. In other words, there's many, many different gospels that a person can believe in order to be saved. Now, the flexible free grace people say, that's too bad that they believe that. That's not, I wish that they would believe in him for eternal life. I wish that they knew that they had eternal life. But that is something they can learn later. That is something they can believe later. You don't have to believe that at the moment of faith, of saving faith. I did a session one time, and I told you I was an army chaplain. I'll ask you. You can shout out the answer if you want. This is okay. I worked with a Mormon chaplain one time, and we had lunch together, and I was talking to him, and I said, Marsh, his name was Marsh. I don't even know if he's still alive. But I said, Marsh, I said, do you ever feel guilty preaching in the Protestant chapel? And he goes, why should I feel guilty? I said, well, you're Mormon and you don't believe what we believe. You know, your belief system is completely different. He said, no, I believe everything you believe. I said, what do you mean? And he read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul says, Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead according to the scriptures. Marsh said, I believe every word of that. Now let me ask you a question. Was he saved? He also believed he had to wear special underwear to make it into heaven. He also believed, you know, he had a whole bunch of lists, but he said, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. He says, and Paul says, that is what saves a person right there. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4. Free grace theology would say, nope, because he's believing in works. He believes, yeah, he believes that, but he believes he has to have good works in order to make it into heaven. There are those within the flexible free grace, and I hope I'm not being unfair to them. They may say, well, the Mormons are a little bit different. But certainly with the Catholic Church believes that. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, but I've got to do all these other things in order to make it into heaven, I might make it into heaven if I keep doing all these other good works. In other words, let me summarize what flexible free grace people are saying. Flexible free grace people are saying this. We agree with everything that free grace theology teaches. Assurance of salvation, rewards, believers can be carnal. But what they're saying is, these are secondary issues. These are sanctification issues. These are things that Christians can learn later. You can be saved without believing those things. You don't have to believe in Jesus for eternal life. You don't have to have assurance at the moment of faith. That is something you can learn later. And you may never learn it, and that's okay. We wish you would, but you don't have to. That's flexible free grace. And so they say lordship salvation and Arminian gospels, they're saved. Most of the flexible free grace people would say that the Catholic Church gospel is a saving gospel. I just want to say there on this slide, some flexible free grace people say, yeah, but you got to believe some other things like the deity of Christ, but they're not in agreement on that. So I want to be fair to them there. Flexible free grace people also change the meaning of faith sometimes. Sometimes flexible free grace people will say, faith is not just being convinced that something is true. Jesus says, I give you eternal life if you believe in me for it. Do you believe that? Are you convinced that's true or do you not? Some flexible free grace people say, faith is more than that. Faith is you got to make a decision. You've got to have some kind of emotional feelings about your sin. You got to feel sorry for your sin, whatever the case may be. But they're not in agreement on that, but some of them will say that. Summary. At first, when I was a young man, it was very easy to differentiate between free grace people and non-free grace people. But today it's getting a little bit harder. because now we have people who say, I'm free grace, but I'm flexible free grace. And again, what they're saying is, we agree with everything that GES taught from 1985 through the 90s, but what we've come to realize is those are secondary issues. And we spent all those years riding against lordship salvation. Lordship salvation people are saved just like we are. They're just confused. And we need to teach them. You don't have to have assurance of everlasting life in order to be saved. You don't have to believe in Jesus for eternal life to be saved. You can believe in Jesus for a number of different things and be saved. All right. I think I got done 1 minute over. That's pretty good. Okay. Questions on any of that? Was it too basic? Was it too much? What was it? Sure.
Hermeneutic, or what's your interpretation method to arrive at the free grace theology?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that all the free grace people, both flexible and focused, by the way, GES would be focused free grace. I would be focused. They would say that the Bible is the source that we go to. But you did bring up something I didn't address in this presentation. One of the main issues here is, where do we find the gospel of eternal life? Where in the, we all agree the Bible's our source, it's our authority. Where in the Bible do we go to find the message that saves someone from the lake of fire? Where do we go? Well, historically, free grace people have said it's the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is the only book that is written, according to John 20, for the purpose of telling people how to have eternal life. And so, but flexible free grace people balk at that now. They say, no, the Gospel of John is not unique in that sense, that you can go to the other Gospels as well. Now, why is this important? The Gospel of John, the word believe occurs 100 times. The word repent, the verb repent, and the noun repentance occurs 0 times. So if you're looking at a book that says, this book is written in order to tell you how to have eternal life, and you see the word believe 100 times, and you never see the word repent or the word repentance, literally not one time, what does that tell you? Repentance is not necessary to receive eternal life. And when you look at the Gospel of John, you see over and over and over again, Jesus telling people what they needed to do to receive eternal life. John 3:16. What does he say to the woman at the well? If you knew the gift of God and who it was who was speaking to you, you would have already asked him and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. And he goes on to explain that he is the Christ and that he says, and this water will leap up into him into eternal life and she'll never thirst for it again. John 11. John 6, John 5, over and over and over again, Jesus in the Gospel of John tells people, I give you eternal life if you believe in me for it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who believes in me has eternal life, has passed from death unto life, and will not be judged. This is all in the Gospel of John. But notice the difference between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you don't have these conversations. Why? Why is Matthew, Mark, and Luke so different than the Gospel of John? Anybody know? Because it's written to believers. It's written to believers. It's written to believers. A lot of it to do with the kingdom, rewards in the kingdom, taking up your cross, like Mark 8. Take up your cross and follow me. Is that free or is that a work? Take up your cross, Luke says, daily, deny yourself, and take up your cross and follow me. Is that works or is that grace and faith? That's all work. Why isn't that in the Gospel of John? Why is that only in the Synoptic Gospels? because he's writing to believers. Okay, so to answer your question, the focus free grace people would say we go to the Bible, but specifically when we're looking at what a person must believe in order to receive eternal life, they go to the Gospel of John. Oh yeah, that was and I think they would all agree with that too. Catherine brings up a good point. If you have an unclear passage, you always hermeneutics. You interpret the unclear passage by the clear passages. In the case of the gospel, you interpret John 3:16 interprets other passages, James 2 or Acts 2:38. You know, for example, in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In order to receive the Holy Spirit, did you have to repent and be baptized in water? We all say no, because we can point to Acts 10 with Cornelius, right? Cornelius received the Holy Spirit, everyone in his house, the minute they believed. They never said a word. So what's going on in Acts 2:38? We might say, I know. But we might say, I don't know. But we know that it is not contradicting John 3:16. That's a hermeneutic principle there. So.
All right, Larry.
Well, thank you. That goes right into my question. Jesus said he'll give us the Comforter. So at what point, when we believe, does the Holy Spirit indwell us? And secondly, wouldn't he be the proof of assurance so that we would never have to think that we weren't saved?
We, as Gentiles and as non-first century Jews, we all receive the Holy Spirit the moment we believed. Cornelius is our model in Acts chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 12:13, we receive the Holy Spirit when we believe. But we do not have any, and the Jews in Acts 2, Paul in Acts 9, the Jews in Acts 2, the Jews who believed in Acts 19, and by the way, the Samaritans in Acts 8, they received the Holy Spirit later. These are Jews in the first century that God required something else of them. But for us and people, anybody today, we receive the Holy Spirit the minute we believe. But we do not have any manifestation of the Holy Spirit when we receive Him. When I believed, I received the Holy Spirit. You did too. The fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that He produces in us when we walk in obedience by His power is produced in us. The problem is the carnal believer is not walking by the Spirit, and the carnal believer is not producing that fruit. But if he has believed, then he still has eternal life. So where is his assurance? Okay. If I am a carnal believer, I become a believer, and for whatever reason, maybe I'm not taught, temptation, whatever the case may be, I'm walking according to the flesh. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. I am a believer who's walking according to the flesh. So I'm not producing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I don't see any evidence. In fact, I see the exact opposite. I see the fruit of the flesh. That's what I see in my life. Where is my assurance? Do I have assurance? Yes, because I have believed in Jesus' promise of eternal life. That's the point. The fruit of the Spirit may or may not be evident in my life, depending on if I'm walking in obedience to the Lord. But if I have believed in Jesus for eternal life, then I have eternal life. My assurance is based upon what I believed at the moment of faith. Demas, at the end of Paul's life, Paul says he's left me. He's left me because he loved this present world. But when you read about him in Colossians, what does Paul say? Paul says, man, this guy's a stud. Man, this guy's great. What a servant he is. But then at the end of Paul's life says, he's left me. He's left me. He loves this world. Now, we don't know if Demas ever repented of that and came back. But the point is, at that time in Demas' life, if you looked at him, you would go, well, he's a loser. He's going to be in hell. He's going to burn forever. But he's not. Demas will be in the kingdom of God, whether he repented or not. That's exactly, yeah. And see, now lordship salvation says it does. Well, lordship salvation would say you never had it to begin with. You know, they would look at someone like Demas and say, well, contemporary example, Rabbi Zacharias. I'll ask you, was Rabbi Zacharias a believer or a non-believer? Well, let me put it this way. Will Rabbi Zacharias be in the kingdom? What I would say is, I don't know, could he have been an imposter? Yeah. Could he have never believed? Yeah. But here's what I'm saying. If he believed in Jesus for eternal life, Rabbi Zacharias will be in the kingdom. Now, what I'm saying is, the way he lived his life and whatever he did with prostitutes or whatever he did is irrelevant. That's my point. I don't know whether he believed or not, but the Lordship Salvation people would look at him, or the Arminian people would look at him, and this is the difference between them and free grace theology. They would look at him and say, no, it doesn't matter. Look at the way he lived. He's going to burn in hell forever. And I would say, no, you can't say that. Same thing about someone who commits suicide. They say the same thing. Yes, sir. Right here. Ron's got a question. Yeah.
Can you have made a series of statements differentiating between focused and flexible free grace?
Mm-hmm.
What has precipitated that divergent approach or differentiation that is, I'm assuming, still continuing to manifest itself in terms of their respective emphasis? What if there is a germane root cause that precipitated that divergence? Can you identify that?
Yeah, I think I can. I mean, obviously there's going to be more than one, but one of the major ones was around 2006, it was 2006. I was still on active duty, so I wasn't really involved in it that much. But I think if you were going to pick one thing, it would be this. You had these free grace teachers and authors and preachers, and they were looking at the theological world in which we live in, Arminians, lordship salvation people. And what they found was that they were working with them. They were working together. And what they said is, these are all godly men and women. And yes, they're wrong on assurance. They're wrong on works. They're wrong on rewards. But they just need to be taught. And we need to work together with them, and hopefully in the dialogue we can get them to see that they were wrong in these other areas, but we shouldn't say that they are preaching a false gospel. That's too harsh. We need to work together and accomplish work together. We can work with these folks and get along. Yes, that's the flexible free grace. Yes. Yeah. And yeah, they would say that someone like me is closed-minded. Like, for example, if I look at the Catholic Church and I say, and I use them, but it could be a lordship teacher or an Arminian, a Pentecostal preacher. Pentecostal preacher, if he gets up and says, okay, if you want to go to heaven, you got to speak in tongues, you got to dance, you can't smoke, whatever he says. The flexible free grace people are saying, I disagree with all that, but that's still a believer, that's still someone I should work with, we can work together, we can accomplish good works. Ken Yates comes along and says, no, that's a different gospel. That's crazy. The flexible free grace guy would say, I'm being too close-minded. I'm being bigoted, if you will. So,
all right. We're up against a hard break. Remember, we will have a panel at the end of the session, so write your questions down.
And Dave will be up here with
yep,
me, right?
David. Yes. Ken will be here.
David! Come on, David! All right.
All right, short break.
Thank you.